Today's scripture reading comes from 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not love, I gain nothing. 9-13, for we know in part that we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is the word of God.
Good morning, church. Had enough sleep? You can make it up tonight. So as the the spread of the COVID is subsiding, I hope that more people from home worshiping can come back and join us. At your comfort level, I think the church is very, very. We have put in enough layers of protection. I think you should feel comfortable coming back. So I hope that very soon we can see everybody here fill up this sanctuary. Then we don't have to run two worships. We're a little bit understaffed. We barely have enough people to run one worship. So trying to run two, it's kind of a bit stressful for us. So I hope that we can see everybody worshiping together. Last Friday night, the whole church was packed with young people running around. The English youth had a wonder for adult night. So since Simba was there, I told her, you just have to pretend that you're competing. No, let the young people win, but she did not listen. So she was running really hard and fell and hurt herself. So the church is start filling up with more real people. We call it real people. So I hope that I can see all of you soon. So this morning I'm going to, I shouldn't say continue with my talk from last week or my last sermon. Actually, I'm going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3. So my last sermon, I spoke on verse 4 to 7 on what is true love from the biblical perspective. So I decided to sort of go backward in terms of the going through the chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, so that we know what love really is. I hope that you still remember what I shared a few weeks ago. If not, go back there and watch the YouTube again, because that's very important. That's the foundation of what I'm going to share this morning. So when I was working in the business world as an engineer, there were opportunities that I have to interview applicants for jobs, junior or senior engineers. And, most of the time, what do we look for when we interview somebody experienced? So in our industry, we are not a high-tech industry where you look for younger people, new blood. We look for experience. We look for ability, skill, and knowledge, Not that much on education. Education doesn't mean knowledge. And we look for people who are capable, can do the job well. I think all business are like that, right? When you look for helpers. And sometimes our church is also like that. When we look for a pastor, the very first thing, probably the most important thing, is that we ask the candidate to preach. And then a lot of the weight on whether we're going to select this pastor, I won't say all, but a lot will be on, you know, how well this applicant can preach. And in the church ministry, we are like that as well. We like to look for capable people who can lead a ministry, who experience lots of Bible knowledge, of course, you know, spiritual, personal prayer, and if you want to be an elder, then you have to tithe as well. Well, actually, members should tithe as well. If you look at the members' covenant, it says that there you should tithe. So you look at all those criteria in a member, whether we choose that member as a leader. But I look at the church right now, we are training people to have a mission mind, not just overseas mission, but also local mission, outreach, evangelism. So the church decided to equip everybody, you know, with these three courses, seminar that we've been promoting. And English, actually, we're the power of the English congregation, we are actually the leading in terms of a number of people per our congregation have finished the Kairos, Interface, ETI. We are leading the other two congregations. So that's something that we should we can be proud of. So we are looking at equipping our people. But in my memory, I don't recall we ever have a course in Sunday school or in our teaching. It's called How to Love People. Love 101. We have Christianity 101, Christianity 201, which will take place right after right after the 12:30 Chinese worship. Then we have our English Christianity 201 before the AMM. But I don't recall we ever have a course on how to love Agape 101. Corinth Church is a church of problem. If you read through the Corinthian 1st, 2nd, it's full of challenge, a problem. It's a problem church. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12 to 14 talk about very specific things about spiritual gifts. And our church is a very gifted church, I would say. How do I know? I haven't served in too many churches. I served in three different churches, including BCAC, two other smaller churches. But very often when we have applicants for pastor's job, children pastor, I very often receive that your church is a very gifted church, with a lot of people very gifted in teaching Sunday school, children ministry. So our church is somewhat like the Church of Corinth, a lot of very gifted person. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, so on, okay. Can you move the slide for me, please? Okay. And it is about chapter 12, 1 Corinthians. It's talking about the spiritual gift, the skills, spiritual talents, if you want to call it, that the members are seeking after. And in chapter 13, Paul, this is actually a continuation of chapter 12. If I can speak with tongues of men and of angels. Now, the Church of Corinth has a very strong emphasis on speaking in tongues. Our church don't promote that. Our denomination do not promote that. But some denominations, they emphasize on speaking in tongues. So if you read Acts, speaking in tongues, when the Holy Spirit came, people, all the followers of Jesus, they all spoke in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a different language that you don't normally do. Say that suddenly, Ernest starts speaking German, right? Abel starts speaking Ukrainian or whatever, a different language. So they, in the book of Acts, it's recorded that when the Holy Spirit descended on them, they certainly speak a different language that they do not know. And there is a purpose of the gift, this gift. So today we're not going to explain that. But the members, the church members at the Church of Corinth, they all sit after this because this is very exciting. It seems that you have this spiritual power that other people do not have. And even yourself, you don't normally can speak this dialect. And certainly, when the Spirit, Holy Spirit came upon you, then you can speak in a different tongues. So this is really cool. So today, some denomination, they're really emphasize on this. So Paul said that even if you can speak many different tongues, I can speak Mandarin a little bit, English, Cantonese. My parents are from Anping, which is part of Taishan, so I can speak Taishanese quite well. Anyone here from Taishan can speak Taishanese? No? Okay. You're just humble, shy. And in the Mandarin congregation, the Mandarin in China, there are about 80 different dialects. So very often, I know they speak in their own dialect. I don't have a clue what they're talking about. So Paul said that it's something that the members at the Church of Corinth, they really seek after because they feel so spiritual when they can speak in tongues. And today, some denominations also think it this way. In order to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you need to speak in tongues. So Paul said, even if you can speak in many different tongues, not just one, two, but many different tongues, or even if you can speak the language of angels. Now, we don't know what that is. It's probably some mystic language that no one understands. No, it's beyond our human comprehension or knowledge. It is a really spiritual language that is beyond our realm, beyond our dimension. The angels speak in the language. I don't know what that is. No, Paul did not explain. But it's probably something that's really mystic. So we Christians have to be careful. The Bible always warns us not to seek after some outside our human kind of mystic experience. Some of the other religions try to promote that. So we have to be careful. But Paul said, even though you can speak this very spiritual language, the angels will speak that most of us, even pastors, even Paul, did not know. But even if you have all this spiritual gift, you can really be stand out at the church. But if you do not have love, so you are just a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. It's not music, it's just noise. Right? If someone today invite you to a music concert, and if the person tell you that, Norman, this is a really exciting concert, I spent a lot of money to buy these two tickets and want to come with me tonight. And I asked, what is this concert? Well, this concert is about someone going to hit this cymbal all night long, this gong. You're going to bang it all night for hour and a half. No, thank you. even if you're ABO, I'm not going to come tonight and hear you bang this gong for hour and a half. It will hurt my ear. It's just noise. It's very interesting. I'm not sure Paul is. I know Paul is probably an athlete. Probably is a runner. But I'm not sure if he's a musician. But he's using a musical instrument here, a cymbal. It's like a noisy cymbal. A cymbal by itself I shouldn't say you cannot produce music. You can produce music, but most people cannot can produce music. It has to be used together in a drum set, other instruments. But if we keep banging it, so Paul is saying that even if we have all this really appealing spiritual gift, speaking in many different kind of tongues, you can even speak the language of angels, whatever that is, some mystic language. Oh, today, if I can do that here, no, something I came up here and then I speak the Russian. Okay, that's not very popular now. I can speak the German, Spanish, Spanish, Camarasta, start speaking. Wow, actually, I took a Spanish course. suddenly I preach in Spanish. They were really impressed, Pastor Joseph and Helen Seymour. But even I can do that. But if you do not have love, it's just noise. Wow, that's devastating, isn't it? If you stretch that a little bit, even today you can come up here and sing like Ernest and Tim. If you do not have love, you're just a noisy, panting symbol. Wow, that really wake me up. And if you can have the gift, if you have the gift of prophecy, wow, I can preach like a prophet of the Old Testament, like Isaiah. I can foretell things to come. I can tell you how this war is going to end. I'm sure if I say that on the YouTube, you know, I will get millions of viewers. You know, I can get some money. If I can prophesy that, and then what has to come true, right? If I can prophesy how the stock market will be like on Monday, right? Every Monday, and all my prophecies come true, I'm sure I become very popular, not just in church, you know, on YouTube, in the world. Even if you have the gift of prophecy, and you know all the mysteries, I can explain to you how the Trinity, in the best way that you can understand. Very few people can really understand Trinity. It's still one of God's mystery. But even if I can explain all these mysteries in the Bible, in the world, and all knowledge, many PhDs in this and that, right? Some people have many, very academically trained, gifted. Even I know all the knowledge, I'm the best speaker. I'm like, I can preach every Sunday, like Billy Graham. Wow. I'm sure I'll be very popular. So that's the danger. Sometimes when we watch YouTube, now everybody spend all the time. Now you don't have to come to church. Well, hopefully this will change soon. But in the last 2 years, now we encourage you to actually stay home, you know, be safe. But now I'm encouraging you to start come back. It's very safe. And we like to, on YouTube, we like to listen to all the different, you know, the good speakers, you know, many, many views, you know, not like Pastor Norman, you know, only have 50 people listen to his YouTube, right? Look at all these ones, you know, 5,000, you know, a million. But even if you can preach, you know, like a prophet, like Bill Graham, you know all the mysteries, you can explain the Bible really well, have all the knowledge. Well, it's a PhD in this and that, and I know all the theology. But if you do not have love, your ministry is nothing. Paul here is talking about ministry. Even if you have all this knowledge, maybe today you're teaching Sunday school, you're really experienced in teaching, very deep knowledge in interpretation of the Bible. You know all the hermeneutics, exegesis. You know all the mysteries, you know? The prophecies in the Bible that no one can understand. No, you can explain the book of Revelation better than anybody. But without love, you are still nothing. Not just not as good, you're nothing. You're just like a noisy symbol. Wow, that's really strong reminders, isn't it? That means, so I'm thinking, you mean I preach every Sunday, I try to teach every Sunday, I try to help out people every Sunday, I do a lot of ministry every Sunday, not just every Sunday, every day. But if your ministry do not have love, if you do not have love in the ministry, it's nothing. It's good for nothing. It's just a noisy symbol. Wow, that's a very strong reminder to all of us, isn't it? All of us here, we all serve really hard. But Paul here reminding, 1 Corinthians written to church members, he's talking about church problems. If in the church here we serve very hard, we teach very hard, we learn very hard, we think that we are very spiritual, we are even a good speaker, even like the pastors, come up here and preach. But if there's no love in your ministry, it is nothing. But I have faith. I'm a very spiritual person. I go to all their prayer meetings. I can pray longer than anybody in the church, even longer than the pastor. And the church, we thank you, the Lord, that we have some prayer warriors. Every week, you know, we have prayer meeting from the Chinese congregation, Mandarin. Once a month, we have English prayer meeting. I have faith. I'm a Christian of faith. I believe in prayers. We always look for prayer warriors at church because there are so few. The church really want to see more people pray, have faith, not just teaching knowledge, but have faith in Him, a faith that can move mountains. It's people with strong faith. But even if you have strong faith that can move mountains, you can pray and fast for a long time, but if you do not have love, you are again not nothing, just like a noisy symbol. Wow, that's really harsh. But I give a lot of money to the church. Only a lot of money. I give all my possession to help the poor. Wow, I'm a good person, isn't it? I'm a good Christian. Pastor always encouraged us to tithe. And now I give not just 10%, I give all my possession to feed the poor. But yet, if your giving does not have love, it offers me nothing. God looks at your heart. I'm not saying that, no, okay, I don't have love, then I don't tithe. No, but God looks at your heart. When you tithe, give this, do you give it because you love God, you love the church, you love the people? So one morning, a father and a son go to church, and so as the offering plate passed by, so the father trying to pull out a dollar bill from the pocket. So because he was in a rush, so he picked out a $500 bill and then it flew into that the plate. Oh, he realized that he made a mistake. No, that's $500, not a dollar bill. So he's trying to take it back, but the usher saw that and just quickly move on. So he feel really bad. I only offered $1 and I made a mistake. Now I dropped $500 in there. So he feel really, really bad. So he went to see Pastor Norman. Said, Pastor Norman, I made a mistake this morning. I really only want to give $1 in my offering, but I made a mistake. I put in $500 there. What should I do? He's trying to ask for a refund. So the pastor said, don't worry. To God, you have only donated $1. So don't worry about the other $499. It doesn't matter. As far as God is concerned, you only donated $1. Just go in peace. Don't worry about it. When we offer, I'm sure that we don't have this problem. Are we offering our heart, our love for God? Do we offer because we love God, we love people? So Paul said, If you give all your possessions to feed the poor but do not have love, your heart is not in it. It profits me nothing. And wow, this is really just a scenario. If I surrender my body to be burned, don't worry, the church will never burn you. Not here. But do not have love. It profits me nothing. So what Paul here is trying to say, even if you dedicate all your time, I'm looking at today's application, the church will not burn you for sure, at least not in Canada. I cannot say in other countries, but here. But I can think of an analogy, illustration here is that if you offer all your time, all your life, you even become a full-time pastor. Well, I'm the only full-time pastor here, so but we're looking for more. Even if you dedicate your life to become a missionary, you give all you have to the Lord. But if you do not have love, it profits me nothing. It profits you nothing. It is just a noisy symbol. Wow, that's really a warning to all of us who are full-time ministers, full-time pastors, church workers, elders, deacons. You spend a lot of time in the church. Not just your spiritual, not just the exercise of your spiritual gift that God is looking at, but your heart. Because Paul here is talking about speaking. Most people like to come up here and speak. Everybody want to speak. Not too many people want to be a listener. Superiority in language. Superiority in preaching. Superiority in faith. I'm more spiritual, more faithful. I'm more faith than other people. Superiority in offering money. I offer more money than anybody else. Superiority in religious sacrifice. I sacrifice all my time. But none of this will help you if you do not have love in your heart. Wow. Isn't this a big reminder to all of us, especially the ones who serve really hard, especially the ones who are standing up here to preach, to sing, to lead, to teach? Without love, God said that it's just a noise, not music. Why? Because without love, it cannot help other people. If you go to the bank, you withdraw money, the teller helps you. But if the teller says that I love you, then you'll be really scared. What? I just come here to take out some money. No, I don't need them. Or if you go to the restaurant, the server serves you food, and then I said that, oh, I love you. I said, oh, that's okay. It's okay. No, just give me the food. Thank you. No, you don't get any more tips by loving me. We don't do that, right, in the business. But in the church, it's different. I sing well. What else do you expect, God? We rehearse really hard. We spend the whole afternoon rehearsing. I spend the whole week preparing this sermon. What else do you expect, my Lord? Without love, you cannot help people. I serve really hard on Alpha. I come here every Tuesday night until 10 o'clock. Without love, you cannot help people. Because without love, love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud, as I explained on this last my last sermon. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. If you don't have any of those in your ministry, it cannot help other people. Think about it. I'm here to serve in Alpha. Wow, it's a big sacrifice. I'm reaching the unsafe community out there. No, how much can it be more holy? I'm not just, helping the fellowship. I help you in alpha, outreach. But if you have no patience with the people, hey, help finish your dinner. Let's go to the class. Love is not kind. It's not kind to the newcomers. Help, just eat and get upstairs. It does not envy. He's a better leader than me in leading the small group. It does not boast. Well, Alpha runs so well because of me. It's not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. Are you doing this for your own sake? Are you just preaching here because I want people to see me as a good speaker, get more viewers on YouTube, and more people will come? No? I don't care about the other people in the church. It's not easily anger. You always get angry. Have you ever been served by people in the church? It always seems to be so angry. Will you feel comfortable coming to church? You know? If Richie always say, hey, you're late. How come you're always late? I see you always late 5-10 minutes every Sunday. I don't think I want to come. I will probably sneak out from this door here. I'll avoid Richie. But Richie is always smiling. It's okay to be late. I'm just an example. It's not okay to be late. But it's always so Shu Ping and Richie is at the door here. And you just want to come to church just to see them, right? When you have love, then people can feel that they are being served. Church is different than in a restaurant, in a bank. Here we want to experience God's love, isn't it? You're not coming here just to accumulate more Bible knowledge. You can probably do that somewhere else better than here. Go to seminaries, go to YouTube, study a theology book. But you come here, you want to experience God's love. And God's love is channeled through your ministry. If your ministry has no love, people cannot experience God's love. Then your ministry will be just a noisy symbol. It's just noise. To the people being served, it's not music. Without love, your ministry is serving for yourself. If you remember what I shared last sermon, love is kind. Love does not boast. Love is not proud. The whole thing behind love is that it's selfless. That's the basic of love. Without love, your service, your ministry is not serving others. You're serving your own, whatever your desire, your agenda. You're really serving for your own agenda. Without love, it's not a spiritual ministry. Because love comes from God, as I shared last time. And love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Without the fruit of the Holy Spirit, your love, your ministry is just empty work. Just a noisy gong. Pang, pang. Yeah, your sermon may sound very attractive, like those YouTube speakers. But you don't know the life of the speaker. You don't know how he served his members. I'm not saying that they're not good pastors. Absolutely not. But you don't know. When someone listens to you preach, to you talk, to you to your speech, to you sing even, they also look at your life. Are you a loving person? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talk about spiritual gift. 12 and 14 is about spiritual gift. And in the church, there are many different spiritual gifts. Apostles, prophets, teachers, Sunday school teachers, perform miracles, gifts of healing, helps, admins, various kind of tongues. Paul put it, purposely put it at the bottom. You know this. There are different kind of gifts, spiritual gifts. But earnestly desire the greater gifts. What are the greater gifts? It's not love. Love is not a gift. And that is in chapter 14. So you go home and read chapter 14. So Paul is saying that all these spiritual gifts, there's some greater ones. He will talk about that in chapter 14. And now I show you a more excellent way. This is not one of the gifts that Paul was talking about. So some people may misinterpret saying that, oh, the greatest gift is love. No, love is not a gift. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So Paul inserted chapter 13 here before he continued to talk about the gift. It's important that we ask God to give us this gift. It's important that we continue to develop these spiritual gifts. But Paul inserted here, chapter 12, that. But before I continue, there's something that's even more excellent, more important than gift is love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is more important than the gift from the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, it may seem that there are many spiritual gifts, fruits here, but really it's all spring out from one, which is love. Joy is love enjoying itself. Right? Peace is love resting. Patience is love waiting. Kindness is love reacting. Goodness is love choosing. Faithfulness is love keeping its word. Gentleness is love empathizing. And self-control is love resisting temptation. So Paul is saying that spiritual gift, all the spiritual fruit is really just one. It's love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all this is part of love. When you have love, you will have goodness. Paul is saying that spiritual fruit is more important, that we should seek after the fruit of the Spirit, love. Without the spiritual fruit, your ministry will be self-serving, serving yourself, to uplift yourself. Boastings, arrogance, it's like bad breath, that everybody knows it except you. Being proud. Serve without love cannot help other people. It can only hurt people. That's why the church has so much people problem. If you do not have spiritual fruit, the harder you try to serve, very often more people get hurt. Wow, that's a very serious warning from Paul. You hurt people's ear. Love is the most important ingredient, criteria in your ministry. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, continue. How do you get the spiritual gift? Now those spiritual fruit, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. I change it. You mean? If we live by the Spirit, let us also serve through the Spirit. By the Spirit. So what Paul is really saying that, yes, we need to continue to seek spiritual gift. Paul did not deny the importance, because after chapter 13 in Corinthians, he go on, chapter 14, continue to talk about the importance of spiritual gift. Yes, we need people who can sing, people who can preach, people who can organize, who can lead, who can administrate. But there's something that's even more important, because without this most important criteria, love, all your spiritual gifts, all your ministry, is just a noise. Sometimes you hit it harder, it actually hurts people's ear. It's a lot of money. Someone might give you a check, But if you have lots of spiritual gift, but if you take out the one in front of it, which is love, it is just zeros. It's nothing. Is your ministry music to others? Or just noise? Let's pray. Father, help all of us here this morning that to re-examine ourselves, look inside our life. Do we have spiritual fruit of love? If not, help us to walk by the Spirit so that we can serve by the Spirit. And so that when people experience our ministry, they feel loved, the love from you. And so that when we serve, we can be music to other people's ears. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.